You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
23 hours to go till the Bears go on the clock. 2024 NFL Draft. And right now, the Celtics are doing what they do, and the Heat are doing what they do. This is Amber and Ian, ESPN Radio, ESPN App, Sirius XM Channel 80. You can call 888-SAY-ESPN. You want to jump in with us? We're righting wrongs in sports tonight because Reggie Bush finally got his Heisman Trophy back, and Amber and Ian, presented by Progressive, as I mentioned, protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is the 46th pick of the 2011 NFL Draft, Orlando Franklin, and we are with you, but we're going to start a little hoops here as Miami right now has an 85-79 lead on Boston with 11 minutes to go in the game, and the Heat are making every three-pointer they take, and the Celtics are missing too many shots and playing with their food and not playing good enough defense. This game looks like that Eastern Conference Finals series that these two teams played last year. It's just Jimmy Butler, Orlando, isn't on the court for Miami.
Yeah, and you know, when I look at Boston, when they're rolling, they're absolutely rolling, right? But you're not going to win if you guys are not crashing those boards. Don't expect the offensive shot to go in. Go expect the offensive rebound. And that is all five guys crashing down in the paint and trying to secure a rebound. They tend to go to that small ball. They put Al Horford. He's in the five. But everybody now wants to sit and hang out by the three-point line. And you're going to get back into this or win this game by, you know, being able to capitalize on second-chance opportunities. And that's how you get second-chance opportunities, is by getting rebounds. And so hopefully Boston gets a little bit more aggressive when they see the balls and those shots going up.
I mean, Boston is the tremendous three-point shooting team. Miami is on fire tonight. Nikola Jovic, 3 of 4. Caleb Martin, 4 of 5. Tyler Hero, 6 of 9. They're shooting 57% from the three-point range. They're shooting better from 3 than they are from 2. They've made 20 three-pointers. You do that in the NBA today, you're probably going to win, whether it's in Boston in the playoffs or you're at home and you're the one seed. 88-81 now the score. 9:31 to go fourth quarter. We'll keep you posted, of course, everything going on there. Let's bounce then to the Lakers situation where, you know, I think the Nuggets are just better in this series. They've won 10 straight games, Orlando, against L.A., but there was a little drama that I'd like you as a former player to break down here. Anthony Davis, this is him talking about press conference Monday night after the Lakers lose at the buzzer on the Jamal Murray jumper, and not exactly a ringing endorsement for his head coach, Darvin Ham. Take a listen.
We've shown that we're more than capable. We have stretches where we just don't know what we're doing on both ends of the floor. And those are the ones that cost us. We got 2 days to get it right and, you know, come ready to win game 3 Thursday.
I mean, these guys, it's been an 82-game season. You have stretches where you don't know what you're doing. That sounds like a star player kind of taking a swipe at the head coach, Orlando. Fair to read it that way or not?
Yeah, when you're playing and you share that court with LeBron James, a guy that's won multiple championships, right? You've already won one together the year in the bubble. I definitely think that this is a shot being fired at Darvin Ham's right in his direction. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how to take it any other way. But here's my thing. Just play basketball. AD, when you're on and when you're doing your thing, you are unguardable out there. Play basketball. Yeah. There's nothing that Darvin Ham could do in those situations. Play basketball. Effort requires no talent. There was times last night where I'm looking at that game and I'm saying, yeah, that's not max effort coming out of that Lakers basketball team. And, you know, with Nikola, it's always so funny because Nikola just looks like he looks like he's moving in slow motion with guys out there, but that's max effort for him every
right.
single play.
Right.
So the Lakers need to be able to give that max effort as well if they're expected to win, and stop trying to take shots at your coach. He can't do anything. You guys are here now. Last year, Nuggets swept you guys right up out that thing.
Yeah.
Right now, what are you going to do? You're down 2-0 in this thing.
Yep. And Darvin Ham addressed what Anthony Davis said at a press conference with the Lakers today. So now in L.A., this has become a little bit of a thing. Take a listen.
I mean, I just think sometimes the plays don't turn out the way you think they should. And, you know, the frustration sets in a little bit. But I don't think this for us not being organized. I mean, I think we have incredibly talented coaches all along my staff. We pride ourselves when it's a black people shoot around the film session, the game, whatever. We pride ourselves on being highly efficient and organized. So I just chalk that up to being frustrated. You know, it's an emotional game, the way it ended and all that. But you know, I would agree to disagree with that one.
Sound of Darvin Ham's voice and a lot of basketballs bouncing there. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. I'm Aaron Goldhammer with Orlando Franklin. You know, I think it's fair to say that the Nuggets have their number. And I think there was one adjustment that got made in that game, too, where the Nuggets changed the way they were defending Anthony Davis. They had Jokic on him. They switched Aaron Gordon on him, and it changed the game completely.
Yep.
And now it's on Darvin Ham to try to adjust back. Like, that's what the playoffs are about.
This is why they're not going to win, though, AG.
Yeah.
The problem with the Lakers, why they're not going to win, is you got a bunch of guys that don't know how to operate without the basketball. The whole entire Denver Nuggets team is built up thinking that you better be able to operate without the basketball in your hand. Mm-hmm. Do you become now a spectator, or do you try to create something for yourself? With AD, and you hear Darvin Ham, what he's saying back, yeah, you know, sometimes the play doesn't go the right way. Well, that's when the player is supposed to improvise, when the play doesn't go the right way. And if this play is called up for LeBron, but the Denver Nuggets take it away, what are you doing, AD? Are you rolling to the basket? Are you creating a valuable option for LeBron to kick the ball out to you so now you could go take it to the paint and go score those points? Or are you just watching and now you're a step behind? Because if you're a step behind in playoff basketball where the speed kicks up, you're not going to have an opportunity. You're already defeated before you even try to go out there implement your game if you're a step behind.
I don't think the Lakers are going to get swept in this series. But
yeah, I don't think so either.
But I do think that the Nuggets are just straight up better. They're not perfect, but they haven't really even played well yet. And they have a 2-0 lead. And I could see at the end of this the Lakers deciding to make Darvin Ham a bit of a scapegoat here. You're not going to get rid of LeBron. You're not going to get rid of AD. You've got more draft picks to trade. You could change the coach again. And that's something that I could see the Lakers doing. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Reggie Bush has the Heisman back. But Orlando, we're asking what other wrongs need to be righted in sports. We go to Chris in Dallas, is next up on ESPN Radio. Chris, you're on. Go ahead.
How you guys doing? Thanks for a fun topic. I like this one. And I'll preface this with saying the first thing that came in my mind, and I will say I'm not a Detroit Tigers fan, but man, did Armando Galarraga get ripped off of his perfect game when Jim Joyce choked on the last out on that
totally,
call.
Totally.
It was terrible. And that
totally.
Kid deserves a perfect game. That is a right that's a wrong that deserves to be righted.
In the record book, and Chris, thank you for the call, and I brought this up earlier. In the record book, that should be a perfect game. I understand baseball is an imperfect sport, but even Jim Joyce has admitted, man, did I make the wrong call there. Like, it was human error, but he recorded the 27th out. Like, that's the part of it. It should be considered a perfect game in baseball history. Matt is in Missouri. He's next up on ESPN Radio. Hey, Matty.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Go ahead.
How are you?
Not bad. Hey, I've got one. I think Smallman would agree with me on this. Game 6, 85 World Series, the blown call at first base.
So what do you do to right that wrong, though? Can you really hand the whole trophy? Because the Cardinals melted down after Dinkinger misses the call at first, right? I mean, so don't the Royals deserve some credit for that and also then going and winning Game 7?
No, listen, the Royals never deserve credit for anything, ever. And you're right. Listen, we had Game 7 and we blew it, but with that blown call, there should never even been a Game 7.
Matt, thanks for the call. One of the worst calls of all time. Orlando, the difference is the game you pointed out, the Ohio State-Miami game.
That you guys are talking about games that I was born in 87, AG, just to let you know. So, you know, we start talking about 85 World Series.
I'll break down the 85 World Series with you and Christopher Mad Dog Russo whenever you want. No, 85 World Series, the famous play at first base where the first base umpire screwed it up and it messed the Cardinals' chances and helped the Royals. It was the I-70 World Series between the two teams in Missouri. The point I was making, though, Orlando, the one you had, the Ohio State-Miami game, like, that missed call was the last play of the game. Miami was celebrating a national championship.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So this was a call in the middle of game six of the – there were still so many other things to play out.
The game wasn't won or lost off of
correct, correct. Bill in Texas is next up on ESPN Radio. Billy, what do you got? Go ahead.
Oh, a long wrong that needs to be righted is the 1985 Orange Bowl with the Sooners going in for a touchdown. And the Sooner Schooner gets in the edge of the end zone, they call it back, and they lose the national championship.
Wait, what happened? I don't even know this story of the 85 owner. The mascot? There was an issue with, like, the actual, what do they call it, the car that drives out on the field?
Yeah, the Sooner Schooner with the horses. They're going in for a 70-yard touchdown on the left side of the field. Sooner Schooner's way back in the right-hand corner and celebrating the touchdown, goes in the end zone before the player hits the goal line. They call back the touchdown. Sooners lose the national championship.
Bill, thank you for the call. I was not around for the 85 Orange Bowl. I can't talk 85 Orange Bowl with you. But if that's true, it's a horse's fault that you didn't win the national title.
That is crazy.
Wowzers. I didn't realize there's a rule on the books that a horse isn't allowed in the end zone. a horse isn't playing in the game. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. More of your calls coming also. A former NFL GM tells us what it's like to be 23 hours away from the draft. It's next on Amber and Ian. Well, ESPN Radio is going to broadcast every pick of the NFL draft from Detroit, providing additional medium for fans to consume the draft. Chris Carlin hosts alongside 2005 NFL draftee Chris Canty, ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum, part of the coverage as well as Ian Fitzsimmons and Jordan Reed, who will be joining the group for Friday and Saturday, positioned inside the NFL Media Center. All on-site draftees will complete an interview with the crew after being selected. You do not want to miss the coverage. It's going tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Eastern time, right here on most of these ESPN radio stations. Aaron Goldham or Orlando Franklin in for Amber and Ian tonight on ESPN Radio. And it's time for us to go out to the hotline. We bring in NFL front office insider for ESPN. Mike Tannenbaum joins us now. Mike, you're a general manager in the top 10, let's say, right now. How much sleep, really, do you think you're getting tonight, the night before the draft?
Good to be with you guys. Not much. And obviously, if you need a quarterback, you probably have to figure four is the place where, you know, a lot of the discussion is going to happen with Arizona either presumably taking a receiver or trading out.
Mike, I was asked this question earlier, so I got to kick it to you. Do you believe that a defensive player will be drafted in the first 10 picks in tomorrow's night's draft?
I think most likely would be Atlanta, Dallas Turner, you know, maybe a corner or Leyte Ulatu from UCLA. I think one of those handful of players could go at nine. I think that'd be the first defensive player.
Wow, boy, offense at the top of this thing. What order, Mike, do you think the quarterbacks are going to come off the board in?
You know, if I had to guess, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, then J.J. McCarthy. I still think Michael Penix, if you had to go play a game tomorrow, is probably the most talented quarterback. You know, obviously dealing with some medical questions, but finished his last 2 years at Washington and has all the ability in the world.
When you look at the NFL draft, 24 hours away from this thing, or less than 24 hours away from this thing, how many people are telling the truth and how many people are lying when it comes to these GMs and these organizations?
Yeah. You know, Coach Parcells always used to say, we're in the business of collecting information, not exchanging it. And, yeah, if you're in the top 10, you're trying to really figure out what's going on. And, you know, again, to me, the intrigue really starts at number four with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. What teams do you think are in the mix there having conversations about possibly moving up and making that trade, Mike?
I think, you know, you look at Minnesota, Denver, and the Raiders. To me, those are the obvious teams, and maybe the Giants. I think those are all teams that could use a quarterback, and, you know, there's just not a lot of options. And, again, I think it's J.J. McCarthy and then, you know, Michael Penix soon thereafter, and we'll see how it plays out. I think Bo Nix could go in the first round, maybe towards the bottom of the first, and then, you know, that would give six overall.
Mike, when you look at the quarterback position, we know that that's the most important position in all of sports, but can you see one of these teams taking a quarterback tomorrow night in the first round and that quarterback sitting down and it just not even being called upon this year, just saying, hey, we're basically going to redshirt you in 2024 and try to make sure that we get you right from the neck up, where we don't, you know, kind of throw you out there and maybe, you know, hurt you mentally, you know, with a team that's not as good, that has a lot of holes, because that's how the draft goes,
yeah,
right?
Orlando, that makes a lot of sense to me. Like, you know, you look at Drake May, like he should go in the top three, and if he sat for a year behind, you know, Jacoby Brissett or Marcus Mariota, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, we throw these quarterbacks out, you know, sooner than necessary, in my opinion. You know, you go back a year ago, if Bryce Young maybe had sat a little bit behind Andy Dalton, maybe that would have gone better for him. Obviously, they didn't have, you know, a lot of protection and nor a lot of weapons. So I agree. I'm not sure what the rush is to play these players so quickly.
ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum is live in Detroit. He'll be part of our coverage of the draft. Starts 7 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow night on most of these ESPN radio stations. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He's Orlando Franklin. Mike, what do you recommend for the Chargers? Should they take a receiver? Should they trade back? Or do you think they'll go offensive line? They are at number 5.
Yeah, I love Joe Alt there. I think Joe Alt has a chance to be a great player for a long time. Really good athlete, long, just a natural pass protector. And if I'm Jim Harbaugh, I don't overthink it. Take him, and him and Rashawn Slater, you got your bookend tackles, you know, with a great quarterback and Justin Herbert.
I got to ask you the same type of question, Mike, but this time with the Denver Broncos, another team in the AFC West, you know, trading for Zach Wilson earlier this week and Sean Payton getting rid of Russell Wilson. Are the Broncos going to – should they take a quarterback, or what do you think sitting there at 12?
Yeah, I think they need a quarterback. I think it's hard to compete with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes 4 times a year with, you know, Ben DiNucci, Zach Wilson, and Jared Stidham. So I would definitely take a quarterback if I was them.
Mike, what about – there's always this debate. Do you take the best player available, or do you take a need on your team? In practicality, how does that actually play out in practice when you're a real GM?
Yeah, you try to, you know, stay close to your board. You know, I was part of the process when we drafted Laremy Tunsil in Miami, and we had a really good left tackle in Brandon Albert, but he was the best player on our board, and it was an unexpected opportunity. We took advantage of it, and you try to, you know, needs will certainly break ties, but to the extent you can, you try to stay close to your board as possible.
Looking at this year's draft, who are you most excited to see play at the next level, and why?
You know, I'll go back to Michael Penix. I think he's underrated in this process and can make all the throws. He has a great arm. And again, if it wasn't for the medical, I think we'd be talking about, you know, another top 5 quarterback with Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams, and J.J. McCarthy for that matter. So I think when it's all said and done, if he's healthy, we'll look back and think, boy, he was somebody got a tremendous steal.
Mike Tannenbaum is our guest, ESPN NFL front office insider. Mike, last thing, you know, we always talk around cut day, and I've heard you tell stories about how hard a day that is as an NFL GM to end all these dreams. I imagine this is the opposite of that. Do you have a phone call that was the most fun to make when you got to offer somebody their lifelong dream, which is going to happen a lot tomorrow night starting at 7 o'clock Eastern time with our draft coverage?
Yeah, I think it was Mark Sanchez where we literally, there was like 30 seconds on the clock. And I'm like, hey, Mark, you're going to be a Jet. And you couldn't even hear anything. Like, you could just hear his side of the phone just erupt and, you know, knew it was, you know, a very happy Mark Sanchez draft room.
Mike, appreciate the time. As always, get some sleep tonight. I have a feeling it's going to be a busy couple of days for you. Even on the media side, you stay busy during draft week. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
That's Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider. And I think it's important to remember that, Orlando, you brought this up earlier, and it's so true. The ABC coverage of the draft is going to focus a lot more on some of the stories of the draft, you know, the personal and human side of this. And that's part of what has made this one of the most popular and watched and enjoyed days in all of sports, the idea that kids are overcoming things and people are really acknowledging and accomplishing a lifelong dream when they walk across that stage in Detroit.
I can't even explain, like, the emotions and what goes into something like that. Just hearing your name being called. I remember like it was yesterday. There are some big moments in my life, AG, but the draft is right there behind, like, children being born, getting married, and then it's like being drafted.
Yeah.
Like, that's number three for me.
Yeah.
You know, because you'll always remember that moment. These kids will remember everything that happened, everything that they ate, what they did that day, what they said to their parents, what they said to their girlfriend, the significant other, the siblings, whatever the case may be. They'll remember it.
Would be one of the best days in their entire life. We'll get back to the NBA. Is the Heat on the verge of an upset? We'll do that next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Game two of the Heat and the Celtics looked and felt a lot like last year's Eastern Conference final between these two teams. What a terrible performance from Boston, and Miami just made every shot they took. It looks like they're on their way to victory. A very surprising one to even this series up at one. Amber and Ian's on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is Orlando Franklin. And Orlando, this score is surprising to me. I thought the Celtics would sweep this series. Miami without Jimmy Butler, Miami without Terry Rozier. They get six threes from Tyler Hero. They have made, with 24 seconds to go, up nine, they have made a total of 23 three-pointers in this game alone. I guess at a certain point, it's a make-or-miss league. You make enough shots, you're going to win the game.
Shooters shoot, dog. Shooters going to shoot, AG. And that's what the Miami Heat came out tonight and did. They shot the heck out of that basketball. But, yes, you know, when you're at that level, you got to be able to play the odds, right? They're going to give it to you, and I felt like Boston gave it to Miami from the opening night. Not tight enough defense, in my opinion, especially around the perimeter, especially for a team that also got hot, like Miami got hot tonight from behind the three-point line.
Yeah.
But if their team is going to give you that, you continue to take that. And as you continue to get healthy, you're only going to become an even better team. I think Boston has to make up their mind. What are they going to do? They have to get better offensively on crashing to the boards and getting those second opportunities when shots don't get going to the net. Too many spectators out there for me when looking at this Boston team that, to me, they're playing like they just expect to win. No, yeah. You got to go out there and take it.
Yeah. And rebounding for them, they don't play like a real traditional center. Porzingis was horrible in this game tonight. 1-for-9, 0-for-4 from three. And Boston's a volume shooting three-point team. They only made 12 and they only shot 32 threes, which I think is important. Both of those stats are important. The other thing I'll say about this series is that now it has gone final. Miami beats Boston 111-101, the final score with the series even at 1. This is a real surprise and a real upset in the NBA playoffs. I think one mismatch in this series, Boston's got all the talent, but Eric Spoelstra, Orlando on one bench, Joe Mazzulla on the opposite side for the Celtics. I still think the Celtics will win the series, but it is a major coaching mismatch. And you saw the Heat make some adjustments to take away volume of attempts and to shoot more threes themselves. And both of those things were good adjustments that Eric Spoelstra, maybe the best in the business, made headed into game two in this game.
100%. Couldn't agree with you more. You know how many years I've been waiting for the Miami Heat to be down and out since the big three blew up and they all left South Beach and took their talents other places, or Chris Bosh was just done playing basketball, retiring. But yet the one constant's still there. And even this year, right, where, hey, Udonis Haslem, no more UD. I thought he was the whisperer for Eric Spoelstra. No, Eric Spoelstra still assembles a great basketball team that's playing in the postseason. He is a generational coach, and he is definitely one of the greatest to ever have done it.
Look at the shooting numbers. It's Nikola Jovic made three threes. Caleb Martin made five. Tyler Hero made six. Jaime Jaquez Jr. made three. Duncan Robinson made two. Haywood Highsmith made three. I mean, everybody was getting into the act. 23 of 43 from three-point range, 53.5%. And while Boston, it seems, has this golden road, you know, with all the guys injured, no Giannis, no Jimmy Butler in this series, they are a team that historically has played with their food in the playoffs, has messed around and kicked games away exactly like this one. And it's been the reason that this iteration of the Celtics, Orlando, has not won a championship. And this was a vintage Celtics for this era performance tonight. And I don't mean that as a compliment.
Culture and identity. Those are two things that I believe that Boston team, it's not like back in the day with Larry Bird. Like, you know, you got to go out there and you got to create your culture. You got to create that identity. And that's a basketball team where week in, week out, night after night, I don't know what team I'm going to get from the Boston Celtics. And that really, really hurts this basketball team. That's really going to hurt your opportunities of winning and winning the games that you're expected to win. Uh-huh. Where tonight, in my opinion, when you look at a down-and-out basketball team, the Miami Heat, right, you start looking at some of your main guys and you're saying, okay, you know, a guy like Jason Tatum, hey, maybe we could get you 37 minutes, 36. He played 41 tonight. Yeah. You're grinding it out. Right. You can't even put these teams to bed.
The Heat kind of drag you into that style of game. And you can talk about the X's and O's adjustments from Spo and the culture there all night long. To me, it is about belief to a large degree. Orlando, because if I'm ranking the top five players in this series, okay, four of them are Celtics, right? Yeah. With no Jimmy Butler, I mean, come on. God bless Bam Adebayo, but he's the only Heat player that's going to be in the top five guys in the series, and clearly Boston has the best player in the series. Where do the Heat have the advantage? Coaching and culture are the two places where they have an advantage in this series, and the mere fact that they weren't swept, given the circumstances, with all the injuries and everything else that they're contending with, I think is pretty darned impressive. And now you're going down to Miami, where you know that crowd's going to be pretty wild, down in South Beach. And if the Celtics lose one of those two games and they got to come back to Boston for game five, I think at that point, doubt starts to creep in for them a little bit. I would worry a little bit about that if I'm Boston.
Yeah. you're in trouble. You go down there and Miami is able to get one, and that fan base gets behind them, and that's a front-running fan base down there in South Florida. I'm going to call it what it is. If you're winning, they're with you. If you're not winning, yeah, they're against you. But you said something to me that's very interesting, AG. You talked about the belief. Uh-huh. The belief is everything when it comes to sports. I know that people think that, yeah, you're just going to go out there and, you know, they're talented and they'll just get it done. But you also have to believe that you could win. And if you don't believe that, you're not going to be able to, you know, make it a reality. Yeah. When I look at the teams that I was on playing in the NFL, when we got Tim Tebow, that was my rookie year in the National Football League. Tim had a certain belief that he came with that made the whole entire team
he
buy
led the
in.
League in belief. Yes.
Yes. When we all believed that we could win each and every game.
Yeah.
Well, 2013, I'm a part of that offense. It's the highest scoring offense in NFL history, 506 points, with Peyton Manning at the quarterback position. Adam Gase, our offensive coordinator, walked in every single week and said, let's see how fast we could get to 35 so we could rest our starters. Yeah. And when he said that, everybody on that offense believed that. And guess what we went out there and did? We implemented it because that was the belief. Now, on the flip side, I go to the Chargers, and nothing against Phillip Rivers, nothing against the Spanos family, nothing against that entire organization.
Yeah.
But the belief was completely different.
Yes.
And it was that we're going to lose this game.
Yes.
That, hey, we're up by 8 points. There are 6 minutes left. We're going to screw up some way, somehow. And you could almost get the sense of feel when you're on that sideline of the here we go again moment when another team scores. Mm. So to a team to have that belief, it's coupled with the talent and the, you know, ability to go out there and dominate. But you also have to have that, you know, every man to a man in that locker room, everybody a part of that organization, believing that you're going to take care of business.
Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. The other thing I'd say, just as far as the Celtics are concerned, they don't get to the finals. Now, they could lose to the Nuggets in the finals. I think Mazzulla would be fine. If they don't get to the finals, in my opinion, they should make a coaching change.
Yes.
I could have argued losing that series, falling behind 3-0. Against Miami, and they almost pulled an incredible comeback. Lucky they did. Otherwise, they might have made a coaching change already. After the game tonight, the Heat beat the Celtics in Boston by 10. Tyler Hero was the hero. He made 6 of the 23. Miami made 3-pointers. He was on TNT with Chris Haynes. Take a listen.
Tyler, 24 points. Game high, 14 assists, 6 threes. You told me Jimmy Butler texted you before the game telling you what, and what did you deliver?
Just before the series, you know, JB texted me to, you know, take the team and, you know, lead these guys. Just make every right play. You know, it's not all about scoring. In the playoffs, you got to make the right play. My guys showed up tonight, Caleb Martin, Nikola, everybody. Jaime, Rook, you know, he was doing his thing as well. And everybody came to play. We lost bad in game one, and everybody responded. And that's all you can ask for from a group of guys.
Tyler, not too many people gave y'all a chance. You're undermanned. This is a team that's dominated for most of the season. Why should people still believe in the Miami Heat?
We're here. Anything can happen. We don't even want to mention last year, but this year is a whole new year, and we feel like we have a great group of guys. You know, we're not fully healthy, but we have a bunch of guys who want to play, who want to be out here and really make a difference. And, you know, this playoff opportunity is big for everybody. And we just love to compete, and that's all it's about.
Series tied at 1-1, going back to Miami. Congratulations, Tyler.
It's Chris Haynes with Tyler Hero on TNT as the Heat pull a shocking win. Two stats, Orlando, I want to throw out here. 2021 playoffs. Since then, Boston at home in the postseason. This is the vaunted Garden with Ghosts and Bird and Cowens and Havlicek stole the ball and all of it. They're 13-14 at home. Wow. Since the 2021 playoffs. Yikes. Eric Spoelstra, we talked about him, the impressive coaching job tonight to help get the Heat over the hump. 3 playoff wins in his career where he was a 10-point underdog or more in the playoffs. That is tied with Doc Rivers for the most of any head coach over the last 30 postseasons. Don't count out the Heat when they are 10-plus point underdogs in playoff games. Up next, we preview Thunder, Pelicans, and the NFL Draft. I'm Aaron Goldhammer, Orlando Franklin, in for Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Man, I think America's got to say it. Look, if you're a Boston sports fan, you don't believe this, but America does. Beating Boston, there's a certain smile that comes across my face when it happens. I don't care about the Miami Heat, but to watch the Celtic fans turn and have to walk out of the Garden when they thought they were going to roll with a giant party in Game 2 tonight, pretty hilarious to me. Amber and Ian, ESPN Radio, ESPN app. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is Orlando Franklin. Orlando, I love watching Boston lose. It's the best, even more so than New York now, because they've won so many titles. The Patriots, the Red Sox, the Bruins, the Celtics have 17 championships or whatever. To watch them lose like that is just awesome. All right, ESPN Radio is going to broadcast every pick of the NFL draft. That's tomorrow night. Chris Carlin is going to be alongside Chris Canty and Mike Tannenbaum, Ian Fitzsimmons, Jordan Reed. A ton of people across the coverage. You don't want to miss it, live from the Media Center in Detroit. It all starts at 7 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow night on most of these ESPN Radio stations. We'll get to a little preview of Pelicans and Thunder, which just got going a couple minutes in. The Pelicans have a 9-7 lead in Game 2 in Oklahoma City. But I don't have many hockey takes. However, Orlando Franklin, my partner, is a big hockey fan. Grew up in Toronto, big fan of the Colorado Avs, had his eye on Maple Leafs and Bruins all night. So it is time to give Orlando exactly 1 minute to talk hockey. Ladies and gentlemen, ESPN Radio and Amber and Ian present the Orlando Franklin Hockey Minute. Orlando, go!
Hey, I got to talk about my Colorado Avalanche. The reason why I got to talk about them is because this year they played against the Winnipeg Jets three different times. They lost all three times, with the most recent loss coming April 13th, and it was a 7-0 loss. This series started a couple days ago. Right now it is 1-1 into the series, but in Game 1, Alexander Georgiev went out there and he laid an egg. He faced 16 shots. He gave up 7 goals. He was able to bounce back. The whole entire team supported him. He was able to double down and get back to business, pulling off a huge win, stopping 28 shots the other night out of the 30 that he faced for the Avs to secure a 5-2 win and now to even up that series. That's my hockey take. I got the Colorado Avalanche, and I got Alexander Georgiev heating up and getting back to the Stanley Cup Finals this year.
That is the epitome of mental toughness. You give up 7 one night. You bounce back a couple days later. You shut down those Winnipeg Jets. And the Avs have tied the series at 1 game apiece. Boston and the Maple Leafs, I'll give you a quick update here in 1 second. I had it up on my computer screen, and now my Boston.
I just got to point out real quick that yes. Orlando just hit the post. I don't know if any of y'all noticed that, but that was exactly 1 minute, and the last word he said was right at the post of the theme. Just throwing that out there.
So there we go. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
We asked for a minute, and he gave us 60 seconds of delicious hockey talk. The Bruins lead the Maple Leafs 4-2 with 14 seconds left. So I assume that Boston's going to take a 2-1 series lead. And you're from Toronto. The Maple Leafs are never going to win anything, right? I mean, you could fast forward 200 years and they still won't have won the Stanley Cup.
well, the East has been really, really good over the last couple of years. And Boston's a tough out, man. Boston was great last year, and they've been playing really well this year as well.
Thunder have a 15-14 lead on the Pelicans, 7:23 to go. first quarter. This is a big game for New Orleans, A, because it'd be great to split, and they had a chance to win game one, a good chance. And B, because I think Zion's feeling the pressure. And Orlando, I think he's going to come back in this series. I wanted to pick your brain on this. Orlando, explain, how much weight have you lost since retiring from the NFL to go from an offensive lineman to the size that you are now?
Okay, so after I retired, my walk-around weight was about 330 pounds. But during COVID, I got up to 350.
Okay.
Right now, today, I weigh 220 pounds.
What?
Right? That's what I walk around.
So you've lost a person. You've lost you've lost 120 pounds. Do you relate to what Zion has gone through at all with this? Because he is blessed with every physical ability. He just hasn't been able to get and stay in shape and stay healthy. We saw a glimpse in that play-in game against the Lakers of what Zion could be. And if he's able to come back and be that guy in this series, I'd give the Pelicans a chance of pulling the upset.
Yes, and Zion needs to get serious about his diet. He needs to, you know, look himself in the mirror and figure this thing out. AG, when I left the Broncos after the 2014 season and went to the Chargers, my agent told me, do not work out. He said, hey, you're going to have to take a physical with the team. I do not want you to work out. I don't want you to risk getting injured. Mm-hmm. Well, normally, after the football season finishes, I would take about a month off, and then I would start working out, start lifting weights.
Sure.
The month of February, come March, now I'm out there on the field, I'm running around, and come April, I'm getting ready to cut it loose. So by me changing my routine, I showed up to OTAs instead of being about 325 pounds that I like to show up each and every year.
Yeah.
I showed up at 340. And guess what happened that year?
Yeah.
I had been playing football from the age of 7, and I was 26 years old at that point. Mm-hmm. I had played every single game, started every single game but one game. One game. In the 2013 season, that year where I switched up my diet, showed up a little bit more overweight, was harder to move. I missed 8 games that year.
Yeah.
I got a high ankle sprain week 2. I got an MCL week 7 when I got back. And then I ended up getting a concussion week 16, the last game of the season. Mm. But I was slower. I was more fatigued. Nothing felt right. Moving around, it took so much more energy. And when you're heavier, you're more susceptible to getting hurt. Your body doesn't bend, and you're not as flexible to be able to get out of compromising positions. So a guy like Zion, he's feeling that every single day, but he has to get serious about his diet.
Yep.
And say, hey, this is my number. This is the number I'm going to play at. And that only creates longevity, and it's going to also help out with the injuries that he's sustained over the last couple of years also.
I mean, it's partially a workout program, but it's also – it is a lot more what you eat, correct?
It's a lifestyle. Yeah.
So what? Explain what you changed from when you were in your playing days to being able to get down now to, you know, really, Orlando, you look so – you look like a completely different person from pictures of when you were out there playing.
Yeah. No, thank you. I appreciate it. But a big part of it is – in about 2.5 weeks, we're in April right now. So May 5th, I'll be 4 years sober. And that was a big thing for me because, you know, it never was just one drink with me. It was a couple drinks. And you know, unfortunately, now me being a grown-up about it, I understand that I can't have 3 and 4 drinks and just call it a night. I have 3 and 4 drinks, go home and drink a whole bottle. So I got to stay away from that. Mm-hmm. And a bottle led into a large pizza at 11 o'clock at night with 20 wings. Mm-hmm. And I would just eat horrible. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was that, putting down the alcohol. So almost 4 years sober, but just started walking because I couldn't run. Bone on bone in my left knee, had 3 knee surgeries, couldn't run. So I started by walking 5 miles each day. And then walking turned into light jogging, which turned into real jogging, which turned into running and just building up and up each and every day. And, you know, results become contagious. If Zion sees that he's running faster, jumping higher, more explosive, he's going to want to continue down that road.
Yeah.
It's what you put in your mouth. Just put it down. Stop putting those bad things in your mouth.
And look, he got in shape throughout the course of the year this year. He played in the most games he's ever played in. And by the time we got to that play-in game last week, I haven't seen that guy since Duke. That's the guy everybody was so excited about coming out in the draft. Stunk that he had the hamstring issue, which has set him back a little bit. But it sounded today as we got ready for game 2, like they are hopeful that he will be back at some point. maybe during this series. 6 minutes to go, first quarter, OKC has a 21-16 lead on the Pelicans of Oklahoma City. Coming up next, it is game night on ESPN Radio. They'll get you ready for the draft and talk NBA. Emmett Golden and Matt Fontana will have the coverage for you. This has been Amber and Ian, Aaron Goldhammer, Orlando Franklin on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.